All right, good morning, everyone. Great to see you today. I hope you're ready to dig in a little bit. When we talked about starting this series for the summer, one of the goals was that what we did throughout the summer needed to be super practical, okay? Something that you didn't just say, wow, that was good. I hope somebody that was there today heard that, was encouraged by it, and I hope that was good for somebody else. The goal for this summer was every single person that's here could get something, and something that they could take home with them, okay? So we realize that when we get into this area of maybe what's called going back to the basics, that for some, what I'm going to say here today could be super simple. But there's something you can learn, so just look through that. For others, this might be a brand new day of systematically studying their Bible in a very simplified way for the very first time. We want you, as a staff, as a church, we want you to love your Bible. Okay? We want you to actually know your Bible. We know that if the only time you got any spiritual food was Sunday morning from 9:30 to 11 or whenever we finish, and then second hour, those would all be good opportunities for you to spiritually eat. But if you only ate one day a week, people would start to notice, hey, you're getting a little thin. You're getting kind of skinny, right? So we know that's not enough. So it isn't us criticizing you for not studying, but we want you to be spiritually fed, and we just want to give you the tools so that you know how to do it, so that you can continue to grow and mature. Because we know that all of us need that, right? Because we're going to leave here today, folks, let's face it, we're going to leave here today, and we're going out into spiritual warfare, right? And the Bible says that the devil is very good at what he does. He is a liar. He is a deceiver. And so we have to, every day, the Bible says, we have to put on the armor of God, right? Amen. And prepare ourselves. We have to, as the psalmist says, hide the word of God in our hearts so that we won't sin against God. But the only way we can hide it in our hearts is if we actually know what it says, right? So this isn't one of those, you're not studying, you're not, you know, what's wrong with you? Or I could say, you know, we're going to have a contest and everybody who studies by next week wins a prize. I'm not doing that, okay? We just want you to love your Bible. So, the title, The Bible on a Budget. You say, what in the world kind of a title is that? Well, we've had the same desire for City View Church from the very beginning. And so, long time ago, when we met at the Wyndham Hotel, we were going through something like this, where we were just teaching people how to study their Bible. And so I did a message basically on this same subject. And I thought, boy, wouldn't it be nice? You know, I look in my garage and I have cabinets filled with tools. And maybe we have folks who attend City View and they have all these tools that could be at their disposal, but they don't know it. And so I went on my shelf at that time and I pulled down like a Strong's Concordance and a Bible dictionary and different things. And I I got this big stack of books, and I pulled them down, and I lugged them all to church. And then we did a message basically on studying the Bible. And then we took second hour, and we had the round tables, and we spread those out. Maybe you went to a table with a Bible dictionary. One went with, had Strong's Concordance. And then what we did is at the different tables, we taught you how to use that tool. And people loved it. And they, oh, I didn't know I could look this up. I remember Mr. Valentine at the time. And I remember him looking up words. And, oh, I never knew what that Greek word meant. And I didn't realize I could look it up in this book. And it would tell me. And so we just had a great time. But the problem is, everybody went home having loved the Strong's Concordance and Smith's Bible Dictionary and whatever else I brought. And for most, that was the last time they ever saw those tools. Because a lot of those tools were either very expensive or they didn't know where to get them. And so as I was thinking about doing this again, this thought came to my mind. A lot of people don't have Smith's Bible Dictionary, but all of you have the opportunity to have this, right? Because if you don't have one of these, it's at your seat, and if you don't even have a Bible, then we're inviting you to take this home today, right? So I thought, rather than bring a bunch of fancy tools in and show you, now, if you had access to all these fancy tools, you could do this with your Bible. Maybe take a different approach and say, what if you attend City View and this right here is absolutely all you have? Do you have to go home and say, well, I can't study my Bible. I can't really know my Bible. I can't really be someone who's growing and maturing in the Lord, because after all, I don't have the fancy tools. All I have is this. And I'm saying that we're giving you this today if you don't have a Bible, and we're going to talk about this today, and you can go home and show you some ways that you can take this. You know what this is? This is the Word of God. So all those other fancy tools make studying this a little easier. But this is what we need, right? And this is where we can begin. So let's talk about this, because if this is all you have, I want you to go home here today excited and confident to study it, maybe in a whole new way that you haven't been studying before. And let you know, you don't have to say, well, I could never do that, or I can. Let's study this. Let's start where we are. And then if we want to get a dictionary or a concordance or something later, that'd be fine. But let's start where we are. And all of us today have this. So if you're getting this today for free, that's a real small budget, right? So Bible on a budget. All right, let's go to the next slide, because it's going to tell us what we want you to do. We want you to mature. And I think on the next slide I have the definition. All right? Someone has defined being spiritually mature this way. Has a good understanding and a love for what? Scripture. And knows how to what? Apply it to their lives. See, we don't want you just to know it. But we also want you to live it. Because there are people who know their Bibles. Yeah, they've memorized verses. They quote verses. They can tell you verses. The only problem is the way that they live it doesn't match what they're saying. And then most people say, well, if that's how you live, if you know it, I guess I don't really want to know it. All right? We want you to know it But we want you to live it and apply it to your life. So it has a good understanding of Scripture and a love for Scripture. We want you to love your Bible. But we want you to know how to apply it. Okay? How to take it from your head knowledge into your heart and allow the Word of God, and we call that sanctification, to begin to change the way you live and change the way that you act and change the way that you conduct yourself among the believers. Okay? And that's the point of that. The whole point of maturing is not just saying, look, I learned 37 verses. No, but the question is, so are you living it? Is it changing your life? That's the key. All right? So we're looking for spiritual maturity. So here's what we really desire for you. Can we go to the next slide? I want to give you a couple methods. I didn't make these up. These aren't mine. These are well-known methods. I'm just going to give you two. All right? There are many more. But we're sticking with this concept. If this is all I've got, can I apply the methods? It doesn't do me any good to give you a method that you can't really use if this is all you have, all right? So let's look at a method. There's an inductive method. That's the first one. And it's just going to train you when you're reading your Bible to ask questions. We want you to look at a passage, look at a verse, and not just say, I'm just trying to get it done so that I can get a gold star with God. He doesn't care whether I understand it or know it or think about it. God just wants me to read it. And a good Christian reads their Bible every day, and God just wants me to do it. So if I can just get it done and check it off the list as an exercise that I did, God is happy with me. And we're saying that's not our goal. Our goal is not just to read a chapter, say, I did it, check it off, God's happy, I'm happy. No, we want you to read it. So that means if you just were reading one or two verses, but you really understood what they were and what they said, and you were able to say, you know what, that makes a lot of sense. I need to change the way that I'm doing some things based on those verses. See, we want you to get it down into your heart. So we want you to ask some questions. So the inductive method is just get in the habit when you're reading something of asking some questions. First of all, ask questions like, who's speaking right now? Who is it that is delivering this message? What is this passage about? When is this taking place? Where is this taking place? Why is this so needed? Why is this so important? And how is this important to who? To me. And if we do this, then what we're going to teach ourselves to do in Bible study is learn something that we call context, right? Context is, who's it talking to? We realize that this message of Scripture was actually written to and given to a particular group of either new believers or you might take some of the early churches, and it was written to a specific group of people at a specific time, and it was to a specific church that was going through a specific problem. And so we read it in the context of what was happening at the time this scripture was given, who it was given to, who wrote it, why they wrote it to this group of people. And then we say to ourselves, so if it was important to them, how is this then important to me? Many years later, how can I then take that and apply that to my life? So let's look at a sample verse I put on here. You know this verse, right? John 3:16. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Now, we read that verse. We know that verse. Many of you have memorized it in the past. So let's ask some questions. Who in this passage is loving? Well, yeah, I guess if he died. But the love originated with who? And we realize Trinity. So I guess in some of these you get the answer right if you just God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. The Bible says that God did what? Right. So God, but what did he do? He loved. God was motivated to love, okay? Who was he showing his love toward? Okay, the world. And why did he need to show that love through his son, Jesus Christ? What was the problem? Sin. There was a problem with sin. So because man had sinned and sin separated man from God, and God loved that world that was separated from him, something had to be done to bring the two together. And the Bible tells us in this verse that that was done not through what? Not through our good works or, hey, if you try really hard. Or there was a plan to bring us back together, and it was through who? Jesus Christ. And then we might ask, so what is the result? For whosoever shall call or put their faith or trust in this Jesus to do for them what they can't do for themselves, then what is the result? Salvation, or they can have eternal life. And so do you see how this method, it just slows us down a little bit and says, wait a minute. What is happening in this verse? And we just get ourselves in the habit of saying who, what, where, how, when. Okay? You become like that parent who has a teenager who comes to you and says, hey, I want to go out Friday night with a couple of my friends. Is that fine? We're leaving at 6 o'clock. And you go, whoa, stop. First of all, who? You want to go where? You want to stay how long? You want to come home when? And before long, you get all kinds of details that they were kind of hoping you wouldn't ask, right? And before long, you say, no, you're not going anywhere out of this home on a Friday night until I know the who, what, where, how, when, why. Because I want to know what's going on. And so what I want to get you to do is just learn to investigate. Just get a little deeper with it. Not just to get through it. Not just to say, well, I did it. I did my chore for the day. I read. Who, what, when, where, why, how. So inductive. That's one of them. Let's look at another form, a method that I put on here. Let's go. Okay, this one is called soap. All right. This is called soap. You see why it's called soap? Scripture, observe, apply, pray. S-O-A-P. All right. So, Scripture, you read it. If it's a whole passage, a whole chapter, you read the chapter. Maybe pick one or two verses out of that chapter that you want to just focus on. And so you want to write those down. You read through it. Say, I'm not asking you to rewrite the whole thing, but maybe just a couple verses. Write them down. And then it says observe. You're going to ask some questions. You're going to do your who, what, where, why, how, to those couple verses that you wrote down. So by writing them, you're seeing them again, you're rehearsing them in your mind, and then what you're going to do is ask those questions, who, what, where, how, why, when. And then you're going to say to yourself, so how do I apply this now to my life? I'm glad that in Ephesians 1, he told the Ephesians that it's you who have come from darkness and sin into light. That's wonderful. But how has Christ taken me from sin and brought me into salvation? And so you want to say, how do I apply? How do I respond to this? And then you just take a moment and spend some time in prayer and say, thank you, Lord, you taught me this concept today. I just want to thank you for this one concept that you taught me, okay? You can do that with this. If this is all you have, you can take this, open it up, read a chapter, write down one or two verses, ask your questions, apply them to your life in a way that you needed, and you can thank God for what you had just learned, right? And you can do that with this. All right, so that's method. The next thing that we're going to look at is memorize, right? Memorize. How many of you like to memorize? Okay, a couple of you. How many of you would love to memorize, but you can't remember where you left your car keys? So, yeah. All right. That's my new world, all right? If I just knew where I was, I'd be glad to memorize. But I'm still trying to figure out where I'm at and why I went there, all right? It happens. But let me give you some ideas before I challenge you to go and memorize the whole Bible, all right? Right. This is a big book, isn't it? It's a big book. It can be very intimidating. Somebody's talking about reading it, studying it, know it. We're talking about just little bits at a time. So you say, memorize, what can I do? And obviously there's all kinds of Bible memorization programs. But I'm going to tell you to start here. You can take this Bible at the very beginning. And one of the things that it does, right at the very beginning of this Bible, on one of these pages, it has this. The books of the Bible. Now, when we go to a passage, we try to say it's on page whatever, so we can all find it and we can find it quickly. One of the best things you could do, if you don't know this, and this isn't bad if you don't know this, just learn the books of the Bible. It will help you when somebody says, oh, Psalm, and you go, oh, yeah, that's kind of in the right here in the middle. Okay? Or if somebody says Proverbs, you go, well, I know it's just in the middle, a little bit back, because that's Proverbs comes right after Psalms. Somebody gives a New Testament passage, the book of Mark, and you're thinking, well, I don't start looking for it here because it's in the New Testament, so I'm going to be looking over here, okay? If they say Revelation, I'm not going to start at Genesis and start looking for it. It's the last book of the Bible because I memorized that, so I'm going right back here first. Now, you don't get any points for finding the Bible, the passage quickly. You did when I was a kid, all right? We all had to put our Bibles up like this, and then it was a contest that I'm going to give you. John 3:16. Now you find it, okay? It wasn't a contest, so it's not bad. But if you just memorize that, it'll just help you a lot. It'll just kind of give you a familiarity with your Bible and where things are. And with just this Bible, you can do Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 1 Kings, 1 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Right? You could do that. Yeah. You can know where those are, and it just help you out. And so when I say memorize, I'm not talking about just memorizing the whole Bible. First of all, I'm just saying, let's just get down where the books are to help us out. Get the Old Testament down, then work on the New Testament, do the New Testament, work on the Old Testament, so you can memorize. Also, I'm going to give you some sample passages. There might be some verses that you would like to memorize just for fun, and you could do that throughout this summer. I put a few on here. One of them, a couple of them are whole chapters, all right? But for instance, John 3:16, and most of you probably already know that one, okay? But that will just remind you how salvation got started, was motivated in the heart of God in eternity past. Motivated by love for humanity that was separated from God for all of eternity, unless somebody did something, and Jesus Christ did that for you. And he did something for you you couldn't do for yourself. And if you will put your faith in him, someday you can stand before a righteous and holy God and be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And God doesn't see your sinfulness, he sees Christ's righteousness. And he allows you into heaven and fellowship with him for eternity. So not only would I say know that so you understand salvation, but if you have it memorized, you can share that with somebody else who maybe hasn't heard that before, and you can't say, well, I would tell you what John 3:16 says, and I would actually share with you salvation, but I don't have my Bible with me. So I can't really tell you what it is. If you have it in your heart, you can share it, right? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Somebody says, why do you carry around that Bible that you got given to you at City View? Why do you keep that? You say, because this is the very word of God. Well, how do you know that? It might just be a bunch of old stories. The Bible says, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. This came from God. This is everything God wants me to know. And if you memorize that and know that, you can answer somebody who's going to probably ask you, why do you believe in that book anyway? It's just a bunch of old fables and stories. And if you have it memorized, you don't have to say, well, I'd prove it to you, but I can't remember what verse it is and what chapter. And they're going to go, yeah, see, I knew that. You say, no. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's right here in 2 Timothy. And I can find it for you because I've already memorized that book and I know where it's at. It's in the New Testament towards the end. Romans 3:23, the wages of sin is what? Death. The gift of God is eternal life. Okay? Gives us idea of sin. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Pretty simple verse. Kind of one sentence. I didn't pick the hardest ones. But it might be really helpful sometime when the devil is really tempting you and you're doubting your salvation and you say, wait a minute, what is 1 John 1:9? If I confess and believe, and I have done that. Devil, you're not pushing me around with this today. I have put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I am secure in the palm of his hand. Leave me alone. I've trusted him. So do you understand? I'm not just telling you if you memorize a verse and come tell me, I'll give you a piece of candy. I want you to memorize these so you know what the gospel is, so that you know what the Bible is, so that you know who God is, so that you know what sin is and what sin can do to you if it goes unchecked. But you can also know that if you're sinful, there is a God who not only loves you, but he is merciful. He is just, but he's also merciful. Psalm 119, verse 11. I have treasured your word in my heart so that I may not what? Sin against you. Great reason to memorize. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, sanctification. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Man, who are you in Christ? And it's just a great reminder in your mind when you've hid the word of God in your heart to be reminded when you're really disappointed, you made a wrong decision and you sinned, and you know you disappointed God, you disappointed yourself, you disappointed others around you, and then you say to yourself, God, forgive me, and you say, God, help me not to do that again because I am in you and I am a new creation. I don't have to act that way anymore. I don't have to do those things anymore. Help me to live a sanctified life. Help me to grow. 1 Corinthians 13, that's what we call the love chapter. You can look back at that and tell you all the different things that love does. Hebrews 11 is what we call the faith chapter. That's a chapter, if you memorize that, it would just remind you of individuals who lived by faith, serving God, serving the Lord, and what they went through. It's just a great chapter. 1 John 3:2, we are God's children, and reminds us that someday we're going from this life to the next, right? It's not always going to be this way. And it's good just to have a reminder of that from time to time, right? Glorification. So those are some suggested passages. But just to pick those out, not so you can say I'm memorizing, but so you can say, because they help me understand who I am and who God is, so I can apply them to my life. But I would start with the books of the Bible, if you've already know those. I would start picking one or two of these great verses so that you know who you are in Christ. Okay? So that's memorization. Then we're going to go to the final, believe it is, meditate, okay? Next, the next slide, I think, is the one with the picture on it, right? Nope, okay. Now we'll go to meditate. Let's do the definition, then we'll look at the camel. All right, meditate. To meditate is very simple, all right? Sometimes we as Christians, we hear that word meditate, meditation. We start thinking of other, maybe mystical meditation. Start thinking about incense and crystals and get a little nervous. Okay, meditate means to ponder something. It's memorization. If memorization is consumption of spiritual food, right? Thy word have I hid in my heart. I'm taking it in. I'm consuming the word of God. Meditation, then, is the chewing. If you think about it in eating, all right? If memorization is the consuming, taking it in. Meditation, then, is the chewing. Now to our next picture. All right, a camel, right? Maybe not, I don't know, some people think camels are cute. For me, that's a struggle, but some people probably do. When they're stuffed animals, they do look pretty cute. Psalm 119, verse 97, how I love your teaching. It's my what? Meditation all day long. So I've told you to memorize, right? For a purpose. None of this is for busy. There's a purpose. If I hide it in my heart, it allows me to ponder it throughout the day. So, why is a camel on there? What do you know about a camel and their digestive system? Three chambers. Kind of like a cow. All right. Stomach of a camel's got three chambers. So the first time, you know, and they're look where they're at. They're out in the desert. The kind of stuff they eat's rough. All right. They're not eating the most nourishing types of food. They're not in the plush grass. So whatever they can find, they're taking it. They chew it. They got these big teeth. They chew it up. And they swallow it. Then it kind of moves to another chamber. My daughter, I was telling her about this illustration. She says, terrible. Dad, don't, you can't tell people that on a Sunday. But anyway. It moves to another chamber. And it's broken down more. Okay? So they get more nutrients out of it. Because it doesn't have many nutrients in it in the first place. And then if you ever notice a camel laying like this, you'll notice that there's something else they're doing. Many times they're chewing. They're just all chewing all day long. All right, this is the part that she said you can't. So they regurgitate it up from their stomach, and they chew on it more. Now think about this. I thought this was an excellent illustration. You can tell me later it's not. But thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. So I take it and I memorize it. And I place it in my heart. But the Bible says I should also be meditating on it all day long. So I place it in my heart and then it comes back up to my mind, and I think about it, and I think about it, and I think about it, and I'm mowing the grass, and you know what I'm doing? I'm thinking about that verse that I memorized. Cutting a tree, stacking wood. You know what I'm doing? Thinking about it. Thinking about that verse. Thinking about that verse and how I either have lived it this week or how I really messed up this week. Wow. And I'm thinking about it. It went from here to here, and I'm just thinking about it. I'm bringing it back up, and I'm thinking about it. See, memorization and meditation go together. If it's not here, there's nothing to bring up and think about. There's plenty of other things in this wicked, sinful heart that come up that I might think about. Right? Those things come to mind. But if I've got the Word of God hidden in my heart, I can bring it up. I can keep thinking about it. It's my meditation all day long. So I memorize for the purpose of I need it all day long to go over it and over it and over it and over it. So I can meditate. And then our last slide, let's see, what did I put on the other one? Look. Oh, in Hebrew, the word for meditation is right there. You know what it means? To rehearse. It's like the school play. Any of you ever in a school play? All right. Sounded fun, sounded exciting. Then the teacher says, okay, rehearsal, 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 rehearsal. What do you got to do? You got to go over your lines. You got to go over all the different parts, entering stage, exiting stage, on, off, rehearse, 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 rehearse. Go over it, go over it, go over it. So on the night of the play, you're not in the back chewing your nails. Oh, I hope I can't even remember my lines. My mind's going blank. No, you're back there. You're cool. You're calm. You're collected. Hey, this is no big deal. Why? I have been over this. And over this, and over this, so many times. You ever see somebody who's in their profession, and they say, oh, I could do this in my sleep. And you're saying, wow, that's amazing how you know how to do that. I could do this in my sleep. Why? You know why? Yeah. I remember one time I went to get my blood drawn. The lady says, okay, put your arm on this padded thing. So I laid it on there like this. And then she put the rubber band. I'm super squeamish. I mean, super squeamish. I'm getting weak just talking about this, all right? And so I'm like this. And she says, can you just relax? Yep. And I got my eyes closed. And so I'm waiting for her to do it. And I said, okay, go ahead. And she says, I'm done. I already did it. And I said, I never even felt it. And then she looked at me with a grin and she said, not my first day. Not my first day. All right. Rehearse. So that we don't wake up in the morning, oh no, the devil's after me. He's going to get me and I'm going to fail. With the confidence of the Holy Spirit, having rehearsed the Word of God, I wake up in confidence knowing I'm frail and I could sin and I could slip. But I have this confidence. Well, don't you know the devil's after you? Yeah, but the Word of God is in my heart. I've got the Holy Spirit. I've got the armor of God on. I've been rehearsing this and rehearsing for this moment. So when he came with his lies and his tricks and his deception, I was ready. I've been rehearsing for this moment for a while. You see how that all comes together? You love it, and so you read it. And then you memorize it, you meditate on it, rehearse it over and over again. And as you do that, you're applying it so you can then live, not just know the Bible, but you can live the Bible because you've been rehearsing and getting ready for that battle or that temptation. You've been getting yourself ready. The problem is, so many times when the devil comes to us with his deception, he catches us off guard. He catches us off guard. We weren't ready. He knew that. He knew we were vulnerable. He knew we weren't ready. He knew we weren't prepared. And he got us. We want you to love your Bible. And I want you to be able to go home and say, everything he said, I can do if this is all I have. And if this and a backpack is all you have today, put this in there, and everything we said today, you can do. You can memorize this. You can meditate on what you memorize. You can read this. Now, if you had extra tools and you had Bible dictionaries and all that stuff, that'd be great. We're not discounting any of that. But if this is all you've got, folks, you can take it with you today. In confidence, preparing yourself for a spiritual battle. So I call that Bible on a budget, all right? Got to get a method. Get a method. Whatever works for you. I just gave you two examples. Get a method. Memorize. Start with what? No, the books of the Bible, all right? If you don't know those, get those down. But memorize. And then take what you've memorized and do what with it? Meditate on it all day long, okay? If you'll do that, I think it'll go a long way to help you. We want you to love your Bible, okay? So, all right, so let's pray. Father, we pray that you'll help us this summer. I doubt that any of us in this room, no matter how long we have testimony of being a Christian, can say, I know every page, every sentence, I know everything about the Bible. It's amazing how we open it up and we'd be reading a passage that we've seen so many times and we say, you know what, I've never seen that before. Or that never touched me in such a way. So Lord, I pray that you'll just help us today to just realize that a good method memorizing, meditating, all that can start today if we're not doing that. And that today we can walk out of here with a tool that we need to do that. And Lord, we pray that we would learn to love our Bibles, and that it would cause us to then be different people through sanctification for those who know Christ as Savior. And I just pray that you would take us to it, help us to love it, help us to read it, help us in our understanding, help us in our memorization, and then as we meditate, help us to realize how important it is for us in our daily walk with you. And I pray that you'll just encourage us today as we go from here. In Christ's name we ask, amen.